Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord, church. How many of you are excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Praise God. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God, because it's in the house of God that great things can happen. The problem is that we get distracted with our lives. We're all busy. Amen. This is a midweek service. We're all working hard. And we're all disappointed in the weather. Maybe some of us, I don't know. Monday was really hard to get out of bed for me, I'm just saying. I looked out the window, I saw the cold. I just saw it, and I'm like, no, please, no. But I got out of bed, got going, and then I stepped outside, and it was even worse, because you're going from that beautiful, warm weather. But I said that to say this, that we're in the house of God, amen? And we have distractions, but we can come to God, and we can lay aside those things. And we can connect with God, and God can do a great work in our lives here tonight. Amen. And He's worthy to receive all our praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to go before the Lord tonight, and we're going to pray and ask God to bless this service. We're going to continue to ask Him to touch those that need healing. And we're going to ask God to move upon our missionaries, as we just had our missionary to Haiti here. And he just shared his burden, and what a burden that is. And I believe that God's going to open some great doors there. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. And I pray, God, that you would move here in this place tonight. I pray, God, that you would help us to lay aside everything, Lord God, that we brought here tonight. And God, to just connect with you, Lord. God, you're so worthy. You're worthy of every praise, Lord God. You're worthy of everything, God. We're so thankful, God, for the blessings, God, you continue to pour out in our lives. I pray, God, that you would move in this place, and God, that you would help us to connect with you, Lord. I pray, God, that you, Lord God, would touch us. God, that you would minister, God, in this place. And God, that you would help us, God, to draw closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I'm excited because we have Brother Bryce Grant. He's going to be bringing the Word of God tonight. And I told Brother Bryce, I said, Brother Bryce, if you go short tonight, you're going to have to buy everyone ice cream in here, all right? So he's like, what? Praise God. Well, we want to welcome you. If you're a guest here tonight, we have a special gift in our kiosk area behind our sound booth outside in the vestibule. That's our kiosk area. And if you're a guest, we have a special gift for you. You go out there, you can fill out a little information just so that we can better get to know you, and then you can receive a guest. And if you're a guest online, you can go through our Bitly link. That's bit.ly/connect2CG. That's my first time saying that. I got it all. Praise God. And we also have some giving options. Praise God. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Praise God. And I know in my life that there's times when I've held back, but there's times when my wife and I have opened up more. And I don't understand how it works, but God does bless a cheerful giver. Amen. It's in those times where you give, and you give with a good attitude, and you watch what God can do, and you're just like, wow, I don't get it, but it's true. It's right there in the Bible. It doesn't make sense how you can give and have less, but yet that less goes further, but praise God it does. And if you want to be part of that giving tonight, you can either give in person in a special box in the kiosk, or you can mail in your offering, or you can go on our church website, or you can give through the Church Center app, which I've used. It's super easy. Praise God. We have our Youth Congress fundraiser. I'm sure that if you were here Sunday, you were kind of privy to this. Voces Unidas is raising money for their youth to go to North American Youth Congress, which is an amazing experience for these young people to have. Amen. And they'll be taking orders for food made by Buck and Honey's. How many of you have eaten at Buck and Honey's before? It's good stuff. Praise God. And one of the chefs, Brother Samuel, actually goes to Voces, and he's going to be serving up the Buck and Honey's food, so you can put in an order tonight after service. You can submit an order, and that food will be prepared and delivered this Sunday coming up. which also happens to be my wife's birthday, which she's probably going to kill me for saying that. So we're going to celebrate her birthday with some Buckin' Honeys. Praise God. I love you, honey. Sunday. Everyone say Sunday, April 30th. As you can see on the, there it is right there. April 30th, we're having a kids' crusade. That's exciting. Why? Because we love our kids here at Calvary Gospel Church. Amen. I say we love our kids here at Calvary Gospel Church. Amen.
Amen.
All right, there we go. Our children's ministry will be facilitating a Sunday morning service. The theme is God's operation, and there will be no kids' classes. So the service will start right away at 10 a.m. So if you normally show up here at 11 o'clock, be aware, you're going to miss out. And this is also a great time to invite a friend, amen? This is often an experience that God will use something like this to just reach out and touch some people. And everyone loves to watch the kids, amen? Praise God. So invite someone, come expecting a great move, amen? Praise God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you're going to do. And let's all stand tonight as we worship God together. Praise God.
From the thankful heart to the battle scar, from the comforted to those who grieve, from the mountain top to the empty cup, from the waiting to those who have received, we cry out as one. We still believe. We're still surrendering our hearts. Your faithfulness is our reward. We still believe. And though the journey has been hard, we will confess your goodness, God. We still those who see, from the soaring winds to the shattered dreams, from the broken to those who have been healed, and we cry out as one. We still believe. Our reward, we still believe, and though the journey has been hard, we will confess your goodness, God. We still believe, we're still surrendering our hearts, your faith. Our reward, we still believe, and though the journey has been hard, we will confess your goodness, God. We still believe, we're still surrendering our hearts, your faithfulness. This is our reward. We still believe, and though the church. stars they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. The final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell broke it. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeat.
All I am,
trust what you say, that your good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my mind. I need you. Soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me.
Here at Calvary Gospel Church, we love the Word of God. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. And in the Word of God, the Bible says that if you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. Amen. Be born of water and of spirit. And we're so excited because not only do the angels rejoice, but we love to celebrate here. Every time somebody is baptized, every time that somebody repents of their sins and somebody receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. These are all wins for us because we're all trying to go to heaven together. Amen. And this past Easter, we had some baptisms, and we want to celebrate those today. We have some very special young people here today, and as I call your name, we're going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask you to come up here, and I have something for you, okay? So if you don't hear your name, just stay over there, okay? Praise God. If I say your name incorrectly, please forgive me, because I'm old and I don't read very good. I'm just saying, you know. But praise God. It's like in a weird font, too. It's even worse. Thank you. Jackson, can you come on down? Praise God. This is says that you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and I was there to see it. Praise God. So we're awesome. We're so excited for you. Don't stop now. Well, there's more. Emilia Williams. Is she here? No? Okay. Does somebody want to take this and give it to her? Thank you so much. That's your cousin, right? Your best friend? Even better. Praise God. That's so cute. Santana Williams? Santana here? No? Are you just collecting them all? I think they owe you some, right? How about Jordan Williams? Not here? Okay. Praise God. Thank you so much.
That's exciting. Hello, can you hear me? How's it going? You guys excited to be here tonight? I've been in a weird mood lately today because usually when I'm in one of my busy seasons, I always reject or say that I can't preach or speak because it can get really stressful. And right now is because my job changed. We're preparing for planting. So all of the seeds and everything are being sent out before the month of May. So I decided to not have an excuse and to just see where it goes and just say absolutely and see how God could use me. So I'm kind of excited about it, but I'm kind of in a little bit of a weird mood because I'm really tired. And also, this topic that I'm going to talk about is very tricky. So Pastor Roy has been preaching for the last couple months about, or last couple weeks, about mental health. And I have been able to be a part of some people's lives who had problems with their mental health. But you can't say all that you know about it. Because it's not your story. So just bear with me here, and I'm just going to suggest basically an idea. And so there's a lot to go through. There's a lot of scriptures and stuff, but I'm never going to claim that I know exactly what everybody's life is like outside of, you know, these doors or at home or what your growing up life was like. And that's what makes it a tricky topic. So I'm going to take a stab at it. We'll see what happens. Nowadays, it's become impossible to relate to one another. Just listen, but don't tell me anything because you don't know what it's like to be me. That statement is true, and I agree that no one can 100% know what it's like to walk in your shoes. Each individual is completely unique. And even if they had gone through the same things, it has different effects on different people as well. So I understand. However, I do feel it is important to hear the insight from others in helping us keep a positive outlook on life and a positive mental state. The mind is a battleground, and I feel the best way to remain in a healthy mental state is to start by addressing some key ideas that most of us can agree upon. I will start by saying the majority of us here are likely Christian. And that's why we are here, so I will assume we're on the same page with that. The next, then, would be that the scripture is the word of God. If we believe that, we believe that the word is true. If you agree with that, we can look into some key scriptures for what God believes about his creation, what God thinks about us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One sec. What the scripture is saying is that God cared about his creation so much that he died in their place so that they could escape death. He took the burden of sin upon his shoulders and suffered what we deserved so that we wouldn't have to. The next scripture I'd like to read is Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's no prerequisite for this. Nothing earned, just a simple love for his creation. He died so that we could live. You are valuable enough to God for him to give his own life for us just to have a chance. The next scripture I'd like to read is Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I should mention I'm reading in ESV, so it's not quite the same. I always read in ESV, so that's just common. But according to these scriptures, God wants us to have peace in our minds and our hearts. Peace, which at times seems so hard to come by, is what God wishes for us to have. Jesus calming the storm in Matthew 28 shows that the winds and waves obeyed him. But it also, to me, shows that in the midst of complete chaos, Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping on the boat, meaning that he was in complete peace in the situation and comfortable enough to even rest. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you are weary, God would like for you to find rest for your souls. According to these texts, God loves you. He wants his believers to have peace of mind. And God wants the restless to find rest. Now, it's one thing to know that the scripture says we should have something, but it's completely different to actually have it. There's a war that must be fought in your mind to not believe a lie. It seems as though when information comes to our mind and we process it, there must be guidelines for that thought or that feeling to be held within so it doesn't become something toxic or something that can destroy the peace in our mind. Even a toxic remark from an individual to you, it can be used by someone with a healthy mindset. But if your mindset is healthy and somebody says something toxic to you, but there's some truth to it, if you have a healthy mind, you can still take that piece of truth that they say and apply that and disregard the toxicity that was given in it. A boss comes to mind. Sometimes bosses will lash out or they'll say something to you, and there may be truth to what they were saying, and they didn't go about it the right way. But you can still understand that they have an internal struggle in them too and learn from the truth that they said. It's easier said than done. The way people talk to you, the way you feel in failure, the way you feel in shortcomings, your self-image, your thoughts about why things aren't going the way you planned, these can all be passed to a downward spiral. You know your mind far better than I do, and only you know what your thoughts are. Only you know what thoughts you have. What keeps you maybe up at night, or what stresses you out. If not addressed in some way, the thoughts can just keep coming in. This is why mind-numbing tools like drugs, Netflix, way too much of a hobby or whatever device you choose can be problematic. Because rather than dealing with it, rather than dealing with the thought, you just numb it and move it on, and it builds up like dirty laundry. The fight must be had, and the lie must be stopped so that it doesn't cripple you mentally, spiritually, or physically. Whether it be like a thought about yourself that causes you to not step out in your career path, or whatever it may be. There was a boxer, one of the best of all time. He ranks in my top 10. He retired early and then came back to fight again way later in his life. He's a 2-time heavyweight champion of the world. In his first run as champion, he had a record of 40-0 and was fighting against an opponent with a record of 44-2. I like boxing and I like the history of it, so you guys get to hear a little bit of something on that. This undefeated champion was one of the hardest punchers in boxing history, but his opponent had a plan. He was going to lean on the ropes and let him punch his arms and his body until he would tire himself out, become too fatigued for his power to have any effect. Then he would go on the offense to knock him out. This fight was called the Rumble in the Jungle, and his opponent was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali knocked him out in the 8th round. But there's some interesting things about this fight. Muhammad Ali later admitted at one point during the fight he was completely knocked out against the ropes. George Foreman was the fighter, and he was that close to winning, but Ali never let him know. In fact, the later rounds, Ali was whispering in his ear, "Is that all you got, Georgie?" Literally knocked out against the ropes, yet saying a complete lie, acting like he was not affected by how hard he was being punched. In his first loss, he was completely outwitted and outmatched. He went on to retire after 5 more fights with some notable people. This is George Foreman, Joe Frazier being one of them, if you guys have heard of him. And then he retired for the first time after his loss to somebody named Jimmy Young. 10 years went by before he stepped back into the ring. Those professional athletes grow up dreaming of being champions. They push themselves to the limit constantly to try to become better so that they can be best equipped to become a champion. They watch the moves of their opponent. They study their styles and their strengths. They try to find weakness in their defensive plans and shortcomings in their offense so they can utilize whatever skills they have against them. I have to imagine George had just accepted that for whatever reason, he just didn't have what it took to hang in the ring with one of, if not the best boxer to have ever put on gloves. But George came out of retirement 10 years later and worked his way into a title fight for the championship belt again, the one he had lost years ago to Ali. He had a plan that he kept telling his close inner circle. George Foreman was one of the most powerful punchers in boxing history. And everyone said Michael Moore, his opponent, was too fast and he was too quick. They said, "I'll dodge the whole fight and he'll never stand in front of you." And George said, "I have a plan. Before the fight's over, he's going to stand in front of me." Michael Moore was a 26-year-old to George being 45. Michael Moore was in the prime of his career while George Foreman was nearly what seemed like should have been at the end of his career. Michael was fast like Muhammad Ali and Young. His cardio would outshine George the whole match, but George had a plan to punch him with not all of his power for the whole fight. He gave him a percentage, maybe 60 to 80% of his strength for all the rounds. He had worked up this plan. If he didn't give him anything to fear, Michael Moore would stop respecting Foreman's strength. He would get comfortable and stop dodging all over the ring. He would stand in front of George Foreman and box with him. The 10th round, Michael Moore did just that. He had fallen for what George Foreman's plans for the whole entire fight were. George Foreman, after 9 rounds, had a score from 2 of the judges at 7 lost rounds, scored at 88-83. But that didn't matter. Michael Moore, who could have just ran around for the rest of the whole entire fight, stood in front of Foreman, and Foreman delivered one punch and knocked him out. The one punch knockout that people thought Foreman had lost, the commentators said it in the fight, he doesn't have it anymore. The one punch that they thought he had lost was still very much there and effective. His plan for success came exactly how he thought it would happen since before the fight even started. The belt was back in George Foreman's possession. George Foreman retired from boxing with a record of 76 wins, 68 of which were by knockout, and just 5 losses. Now, we aren't boxing, but we are in a war of our mental state. A war for our soul, a war for our peace in the midst of this life. Anxiety, they say, affects 19% of the adult population. Mental conditions increased from 17.4% in 2021 to 25.7% among 7 to 19-year-olds in 2022. Sorry, I lost my place. Among 16 to 24-year-olds, mental health conditions were much higher in women, 31.2%, while in men they were 13.3%. In the workplace, they are saying 58% of employees are experiencing anxiety. 34% of those are within the range of 25 to 34 years old. 1 in 4 employees met the criteria for clinically relevant symptoms of depression and would benefit from support from a qualified mental health professional. Numbers alone show that the world is in a war, a mental health war. I remember back in my teen years, Bishop giving me Bible studies about how you could control your thoughts, or you could control your mind. To be perfectly honest, it drove me insane. Because when Bishop made a statement, it was never a question. It was a bold statement. You can control what you think about. Well, at the time, my mind was going nuts. The downward spiral I've seen happen time and time again in people that I know and in people I see in life. Apparently, Bishop suggests that spiral of negativity or toxicity could be avoided altogether. Pastor Roy has talked about medical assistance and helping control your mind, and I'm not saying anything against that. I'm not a doctor. He keeps saying that too. I'm not a doctor either. I do, however, believe that even if you get your levels under control, you still have to deal with these downward spirals or attacks. I don't think a drug just cures everything. I think it can assist, but I still think a person has to get a positive outlook on life in order to live healthy mentally. So just as George Foreman had a plan set up to gain his championship at the age of 45 years old, I feel we need to have a plan up to guard our minds, to make sure our thoughts are dealing with life in a positive, healthy manner. That being said, this may sound slightly elementary, and I'm good with that. But this is what I've done personally and what I've helped others in my life do, and I've seen some positive results. How many people, computers in early 2000s, you guys remember the first pop-up blockers? I don't know if they're still like they used to be, but they used to just pop up on the screen, and then it would say, like, do you want some ridiculous name to pop up and you'd be like blocked forever. You know what I'm talking about? Because it's like, no, it's completely made up garbage name spam. But anyways, you could block whatever it was that you were trying to block. Boom, done. I chose to treat my brain as a computer. I tried monitoring my thoughts. And I use scripture. I use scripture as a pop-up blocker to keep my mind from going down a dark path. keep my mind in bounds, so to speak, so that I wouldn't believe a lie that would end up destroying my peace. And anything that came up that was contrary to the identity I read the scriptures wanted for me to have, I'd simply say, this is a lie, and try my best to block it out. Easier said than done. Even with your perception being your reality, like Pastor talked about, I would try my best to see things from other people's point of view and assume that they didn't mean wrong and that people aren't all evil and they have a reason for doing what they are doing or saying what they are saying or staring at us how they are staring at us. Thought comes, oh, they are judging me, maybe, or maybe they're just tired and daydreaming, right? Who knows? How would I know? How could I know? Even if they did mean evil or to hurt you, maybe they are wrestling with their thoughts too. Maybe they are going through it. Sure, that doesn't give anyone the right, but we are human and it just happens sometimes. Maybe you mess up, right? Okay, scripture, Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. Okay, so it's not about the falls, it's about getting back up. How many here's never fallen? I messed up at work. Okay, focus on how the problem happened. What can I do to prevent it from happening in the future? Do I need to carry a notepad for this task? Do I need to fill out a checklist to make sure I don't miss a step? I'm experiencing anxiety. I feel like the work is piling up too much and I have too much. It's impossible to stay caught up. Every day I feel like I'm drowning in too much responsibility and I can't finish my tasks in time. Now this can be, it's not funny, but I said funny, I don't know why, but I said this can be funny because work will actually literally do this to you because they're trying to get more for less. You know, shorten your staff as much as they can and work the sweat all out of you until you're basically struggling to stay, you know, standing for a day. But I remember one time I couldn't complete a task at work, and it was literally impossible for me to do it. So I just worked as hard as I physically could. And then my boss came up to me and talked to me about it, my boss at the time, and he yelled at me. And I actually defended myself, and I said, listen, there's absolutely no way to do the task that you're giving me to do. And at that time, corrections were made, and the task became possible. So I understand sometimes careers can be way too much. You can also step up for yourself when your boss comes at you about it. My new career, I was offered a position, and the man before me had that position for 40 plus years, 43, I believe, to be exact. And I've been laughing at myself for the whole year about some of the mistakes I've made to my boss. It's unreal. How could I not know this or that? The guy before me knew everything. Literally made mistakes so many times I stopped counting. And I told Pastor, I'm failing every day. But at least I'm failing forward and I'm learning. Not an excuse to quit, not an excuse to stop, an excuse to rise up like a righteous man and try again. I remember the panic I had, maybe anxiety, I don't know, but I was talking a million miles per hour because of something I did, a big mistake I made, and my boss basically said, I'll say it like this because we're in church, but be quiet, slow down, now speak. Honestly, it's probably the definition of a panic attack that I was having, but I just don't know enough because I haven't been seen for that. I used the lesson to understand that everything will be all right and we can fix just about anything. Just calm down and let's solve the problem. Was it right to panic? Why did I panic? We all make mistakes, right? I think workloads and stress of life, relationships, kids, responsibilities outside of work, they're all like punches a boxer can face. You could keep blocking, but after so much fatigue and wearing on you, you just let that one punch get through. That one lie that can settle in your heart or in your mind and keep you crippled from moving forward. The devil has been ending people's purposes for years. Lies have kept people from accomplishing or fulfilling their dreams for centuries. Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Can you pull that up? Then was Jesus led up to the Spirit, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." And Jesus said unto him again, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. And he said unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. You know your personal thoughts better than anybody. I imagine, in the scriptures, I can't find it because Jesus was perfect, but I can imagine Satan thought that the only thing Jesus could possibly struggle with is that his identity as king was not as luxurious as other kings in the world. I can imagine he thought, since people didn't truly believe he was the king to come to save the Jews, that maybe somewhere there could be a trigger in Jesus. And so that's the weakness he tried to get in Jesus, which there wasn't one, obviously. But there is in me, and there probably is in you. You know your triggers. You know your thoughts that hold you back. Bitterness, anger, jealousy, poor self-image. I mean, it's endless. I can't guess it, but you know it. And my suggestion is simply to memorize scriptures that pertain to whatever inner struggles you have and quote them when you're in your downward spiral. When your life starts getting stressful and you start getting tired and letting your guard down, devise a plan and be ready. The musicians can come. Find friends that help you. They help you out and they don't keep you in. It's one thing to have someone who is in the hardship with you, but it's another thing to have someone that will not just tell you what you need to know, but who will walk with you and figure out what you're really all about. Try to understand you and then do whatever is necessary to help you to believe something positively about yourself. Sometimes it's not even having an opinion. It's having a friend to just listen. And they may have suggestions for you or different ideas to present to you, but it really is your own battle. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into this world." 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down all imaginations and every high thing that it exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How does a lie exalt itself above God? Because if it's contrary of God's thoughts towards you, then it's saying the lie is correct over God. You can stand. The last thing I want to say is Revelation 12:11. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Everyone has a testimony from all different walks, all different paths. A testimony is powerful because it shows how God's love can bring about a change, bring about a victory. It also gives faith because if he did it for me, he can do it for you. You don't have to be me and live the same life I did to share your testimony. Everyone here has a wonderful and unique life. Everybody comes from a different path. And I think when you're open to one another, you're open to how God uses individuals. It doesn't matter. The love of Christ crosses all separating factors that they try to build up. I can't understand what my wife is going through because she's a 5'8" strawberry blonde. It's insane. Like, nobody can live the same life, and we all go through it, and we all handle it in different ways, and we all overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of our testimony. And some of our testimonies right now, if you want to come up and pray, some of our testimonies are still being written. Some of us haven't gotten that victory yet, and there's people here who have. And you can link up with those people, and together we can be strong. We can learn from each other, and we can just try to help each other believe positively about ourselves and believe that we can overcome and believe that we can be what the scripture calls us to be. So if you want to just come up here and pray and just seek God and see whatever it is that you're dealing with, and you just want to reach out to God and see if he has any answers for you today, I just invite you to come and pray.
You are good when there's nothing good.